this whole series just might be a like an exploration of traumas.
It's growing beyond what you are. That perhaps is what we are both discussing right now, is the ability for people to grow beyond what life deals them.
Right. Interesting.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. My name is Angela, and I had to stop binging Project Runway so I could finish watching Discovery today, and I am an anomaly.
And I'm Jen. Guys at the gym talk sci-fi with me, and I am an anomaly.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yay! We are trying something new, Angela, right?
Yes. Well, this is what we should be doing.
And I agree.
It's been probably since Battlestar, since we've been watching a show as it actually airs. Isn't that terrible? I don't care. We be who we want to be.
Exactly. But we're going to try to start covering Discovery the Monday after. In a perfect world, I would like to do the same for Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah, we can
so
do Stranger
you don't
Things.
Like Discovery, Stranger
thing,
Things.
True, but Stranger Things, because we're going to be able to binge watch it. So when it comes out, do we want to do like one episode at a time, or do we want to watch it and then review it like next Monday? How do you want to do that?
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that amongst ourselves.
Yeah, I can see benefits of both. Okay.
Yeah, so we'll this episode we'll be covering, I think it's the sixth episode. It's called Leith. L-E-T-H-E?
Yes.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I have no idea. We should look it up on the
internet. It's the one in which Sarek is in trouble and Michael is sent to rescue him, or the Discovery goes to rescue him. So that's one we're going to talk about first, and it will be spoilery. I don't know why you'd be listening if you're not watching Discovery, but we're just letting you know now. So if you're anti-spoilers, come back to this after you've seen the episode. Before we start, we both want to thank Stephanie, our good buddy Stephanie.
Yes.
Helga and Rico for their donations to our show. And of course, Amber, who's been donating all along, and Rick Moyer, and our friend Michelle, who had to postpone things for her wedding that she's saving up for.
How exciting.
So you can help us make more Anomaly by signing up to donate to our show once a month.
Yep.
And you can do that over at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. There's a link on the homepage.
I'm a television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I got a lot of problems. Why don't somebody solve them? Television junkie, I don't like what I see. I'm a television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I'm a television junkie, gotta go.
Shields up! Red alert! Spoilers decloaking off the starboard bow! Yeah. That was a warning. Should we get into it?
I looked it up.
How do you say
it? I don't know how to say it, but it is named, it's a Greek mythology, and it's the river of forgetfulness, or it's the goddess of the personification of forgetfulness and oblivion.
Okay.
So interesting. So it's kind of like Tabula Rosa.
Yes.
So that's kind of interesting. They're not picking names out of nowhere. There's a reason.
Right.
And I think I understand why, but yes. Yeah, are we going to say super spoilers?
Yeah, we already did.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay. We'll play the spoiler alert just in case.
The special spoiler alert. I love it. Woo!
What did you think? First impression overall, rating 1 to 10.
It's hard to say because I don't know where it's going exactly, but as far as the episodes we've seen, I would say probably a 6. What did you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I would give it probably a 7 or 8. Really, it was a character building episode. We learn more about Michael and we learn more about Sarek.
Yep.
And I like what we learn, I guess, because it kind of builds upon Spock's backstory as well without actually really involving him other than the one thing we learn at the end.
Yeah.
There are some continuity issues, but I've decided to think of it as either the JJ verse
Well,
and just to hell with whatever they've said, you know, where it takes place. But also, I think you were a part of this discussion that we had on our little Facebook Messenger thread with Rico. The events of First Contact, the movie, messed a little bit with the timeline in the Prime universe.
Yes.
So things could be jumbled up. And if I can believe in that warp drive and Klingons exist, I'm going to be okay with, you know, the holodeck being around pre-TOS.
Okay. Jim and I talked about this a little bit, and what we were kind of thinking, and this is, you know, a little bit of a stretch, but if Discovery really is this like super, it's almost like a black ops ship, if you think about it. And so what if this is the story of how they got in over their head and became like completely off the record?
Lorca and his crew?
Yeah. Like what if this story, however long it goes, ends up being like the thing that gets completely off the record? And that's why a lot of the stuff, all of these experimental things they're doing don't show up or don't show up exactly how we think they're going to in the rest of the series.
But what did you think about the holodeck?
Well, because I thought it was a cool
version.
We know,
like, in the first episode of TNG, the holodeck was a new thing.
Yes. Well, of course it was. And so it wasn't really a holodeck as much as it was like a VR studio.
Holodeck.
I know, but it wasn't a room. It was like a little...
It was a room, wasn't it? Didn't they come
out of a
room?
It looked like it was in some sort of recreation room, but the actual thing was projecting, like they were inside some sort of device that wasn't that big. Don't you think?
Okay. It looked like a Klingon
Whatever.
Ship.
Whatever, it is
were.
A holodeck. But then again, we're in experimental.
Yeah.
We're on an experimental ship. So they have like the highest class of everything, you know?
Yeah, but this is a long time before TNG.
But I know.
I'm gonna just say what I said, you know, that the First Contact messed with the timeline. And also I'm gonna go with the thought that they have to keep up with actual technology of today, you know, because we are in the baby stages of, well, you know, the holodeck could actually be a thing now. Didn't you show me that technology thing? Where,
yes, I posted it. And it is cool. I mean, the thing is that I don't think we should split hairs about stuff like this because we'll get too bogged down. I mean, the most important thing is the story, right? So as we were talking about the last time we spoke, which was just yesterday in our world, I do like to have these details, and it's important to me that they are fitting in with the story, but really, I will forgive a lot of things if the story is good. And I'm still not sure where we're going with this.
I don't know what you're expecting, though.
What do you mean, what am I expecting?
Why do you keep saying, where are we going with this? Because we didn't know where we were going with TNG either,
and I don't know
why that is so important.
Well, first of all, I was 12 when I first watched TNG, so you have to give me a little bit of credit.
Yes, but you rewatch it as an adult, so.
I do rewatch it as an adult, but I have a lot of context when I rewatch it. I think it's because I like my Star Trek with a moral center. And so far, none of the characters, and I realize this is reality and these are hard times and we're reflecting society, et cetera, whatever. I want a little bit more reason for some of these things. And just when I thought I was getting some better reasoning, like with the captain, I am pretty certain that he like sent his friend to die and be captured by the Klingons. I'm pretty sure he knew that was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. And I thought that was on purpose.
And
too.
I don't mind the idea of him being troubled and aggressive, but the idea of him doing that willfully is hard to... This is much different than Picard having a little bit of a freak out about the Borg. I mean, like, Picard had this freak out about the Borg and he made some stupid decisions. He was called out on it and he fixed it. You know, this is scary. And I agree with her in the fact that we don't know where he's coming from. Then the Starfleet command can't be very good at vetting their officers if he was able to fool everybody. You know what I mean? You would think by this time in history, they have some kind of good test for psychopathic behavior. I would think. they were trying to show us in the last episode, though, before this, was that he has a heart. He took in this guy. He felt sorry for. He showed real emotion, you know, when he was breaking out. And this whole idea of him, like this revenge idea, which is fine. I don't mind a little bit of revenge or a lot of revenge. That's a good reason for characters to do stuff. It's not an awesome reason, but it makes sense at least. But now we've gone from seething revenge to something else. Think about it this way. His whole reasoning for blowing up his own ship was because he didn't want his crew to be in the hands of the enemy because of the deaths that they would encounter. You know, they didn't want them to be captured. And here he sent someone who at one point he loved into the hands of the enemy for that exact fate.
He's a lot off his rocker.
He's a lot off his rocker. And
he's probably a psychopath, but his ultimate goal is win war against the Klingons.
Right.
He has to surround himself with a team who can do that.
Right.
Even if he's capable of showing some sympathy for a guy who just had the crap beat out of him for months on end by the Klingons, his primary purpose is just to surround himself with a good team. And that's another reason why Michael is on his ship.
Right.
So we're kind of getting a broader picture of who he is and what his reasons are.
Right.
What his methodology is. We always knew there was something off about him. Now we know he's sick.
Yeah.
And I think this is just a stepping stone to bring us to a future where Michael is the captain.
Oh, I know that that's what all of it is.
So they're making us see how horrible it is. They need somebody in charge who is logical and, you know, level-headed, and eventually she'll fit that role. I think that they have to make him into this scary wackadoo kind of a guy.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess so.
So, but I know how much you love the actor.
And I think that
does
color some of how I feel about the whole thing. Definitely my personal feelings about wanting him to stay on the show. But I'm still having a hard time figuring out how they're going to do the mental gymnastics that makes it okay for her to have a command. They started in a place of complete nothing. They stripped her of everything and they showed you why and how. What in the world could possibly happen?
She's earning back her respect. That's
no,
what could
I realize that, but I mean, I get it. I guess I get it. I get it. That's why I'm saying, though, that the jury is out on the episode as a whole until I see it in the context of the entire series or in the entire season, I guess.
But you can enjoy episode by episode, right?
Sure. And I guess that's, you know, I didn't think about this before, but I think that that's another thing that's just different. One of the things I like about TNG is the fact that it helps to have a relationship with the characters, but you can enjoy each episode separately pretty much, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you can watch an episode and know what's going on because it was a monster of the week. It was episodic. It wasn't serial. And so this, because of TV nowadays always being serial, it's an arc. Everything is about the arc. You know, it's apples and oranges almost. I know that, you know, as you got further, Enterprise and all that, they got a little more with these overarching shows. And so that's why I think maybe it's not fair to compare the two, even though it's all Star Trek. We really have this very sweeping story and everything's very dependent on everything else. And the one thing I did like about this episode, though, is I do like this idea of her being human and reclaiming her humanity. I like that. I really enjoyed that moment. And I thought that Lorca was going that way, too, when he was talking to his friend, because you saw for a second, like, he really, you know, this idea that he wanted to keep the ship and it's the only thing he had. I mean, I thought that he was, and maybe he was telling the truth in that moment. I don't know. I kind of felt like she did probably. But I do like the idea of Michael reclaiming her humanity intentionally, you know?
No, I enjoyed that too. And I thought, well, you have Spock embracing the Vulcan side of himself. Michael is now embracing the humanity. You know, she's letting go of that Vulcan half that she always strove to adhere to for Sarek's sake.
Right.
And then to learn that, you know, she could never fit in.
Right.
No matter how hard she tried, and they wouldn't accept her. Why is she striving for it? Mm-hmm. I think she's switching gears, not giving up. And that's what I like about it.
Right. I do like that too.
We were intending to post an episode that we recorded last night that's kind of a catch-all episode. We talk about a little bit of everything, mm-hmm. and we just talked about all of the episodes in Discovery up until this point, and I'd said that I wanted to see more Vulcan.
Yeah.
And I wanted them to address some questions that were brought up in Enterprise about touch telepaths. Mm-hmm. Well, instead of answering that question, they brought in this whole other drama of there being two factions.
Yeah, that's
aside
weird,
from the other faction, right? Of touch telepaths versus non-touch telepaths, whatever. Now there's a new faction who I guess are purists, who don't
logic
want
purists, right? Fundamentalists
who I'm don't want humanity there involved in their culture at
right
all, which it's hard to believe, because why the hell would they come to Earth in the first place? Unless it was a thing that has developed over time after meeting the humans and being threatened maybe by their eagerness to explore the galaxy.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? It reminds me of Nemesis, when they were like, oh yeah, there's this whole other race of Romulans, by the way. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, I don't mean to say that all Star Trek before this was perfect, because it definitely wasn't. So that's what it reminds me of, kind of. But I think that that is a definite political thing, which is fine.
They shoehorned that in to bring us, you know, pull it a little closer to reality, you know, with the terrorist bombing.
I know.
But I just watched an episode of Enterprise the other night where the same explosive mechanism was used by an alien race.
The one where
they injected themselves. Yeah.
Oh.
You know, more than, you know, what's going on with Lorca and the Discovery. That's the thing that I'm more like, what's going on?
Oh, here? I understand. I understand. I would think it would be awesome if Tilly was somehow related to Dr. Crusher. The other redhead.
Yes.
Like her great-great-grandmother or something. Wouldn't that be cool?
We already know her great-grandmother. But she would be Scottish. Oh, you mean maybe on her dad's
side? Maybe on a different side. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just putting it out there.
I like that.
Because
I am liking Tilly a lot.
I know, I am too.
I love the scene where they're jogging and she's making all these cracks and jokes, you know, especially the food replicator where Michael insists on fire roasted tomato salsa instead. And she's like, you're scary.
Well, and I'm liking the guy too. I didn't realize that he's always been kind of part of the main cast. He just hasn't been in the show until now. So didn't realize that. And also I think he played, not the character, but the actor played a Klingon in like the first two episodes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's kind of an interesting thing, I think. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with the show. Like, he just happened to be hired and he played a Klingon in the first two episodes. It has nothing to do with his character now.
Do you think they're setting him up to be a love interest? I hope that he's just a friend right now, you know?
I don't know. I think it would be interesting. The things that work in Star Trek, you know, are these friendships and relationships. And I think one of the best ones personally is the whole Spock, McCoy, Kirk thing. You know, the raid group mentality. And so if you're getting your raid group together, which is we just really don't have it yet, the raid group, I think it would be interesting if, you know, Burnham, of course, being kind of being that main character, if she had a good Bones or Spock type character. I'm not saying that she's necessarily the tank, but I'm just saying that to have kind of that camaraderie relationship, and she's already got Tilly, three, you know, having that those three kind of main people that are your primary raid group.
Her Bones is Saru.
Okay, I'm cool with that. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm back and forth about Saru, because I know that a lot of people like him. I'm just not sure. It's interesting.
You know that book I was telling you about last night, Desperate Hour? It's a Star Trek Discovery novel, and I highly recommend it. It doesn't give anything away if you haven't watched Discovery, but it enlightens us as to why he's like he is towards her. And it doesn't make me like him. It makes me dislike him, because he seems so shallow and so petty. I'm hoping he like comes out of that, because it's keeping me from liking
him. Well, it's interesting to me. I feel like sometimes when they do some of these characters, I think that they decide that they're going to do a gimmick and then it doesn't get backed up by anything. A gimmick, the idea of a human that was raised by Vulcans. Okay, well then what are you going to do with that? Or you have this idea of a guy who's injected himself with, you know, alien DNA. Where are you going to go with that? That sounds interesting. Or you have a socially awkward cadet. rooming. You know, they have right. all these things where you can see in the writer's room, they were like, oh, it'd be cool if you can have a cool idea like that, but you still have to be able to create something out of it. There has to be some sort of development or idea. Here is a, you know, here's a guy who was a prisoner and basically sexually assaulted for months.
By a Klingon. By a really ugly
No, I didn't. One. I mean, by Klingon standards, maybe she was cute. I don't know. And then having an established relationship between the doctor and the chief engineer, regardless of the implications of whatever, I don't care about the sexuality part of it, but just we've never had that where two people were together that were part of the crew and they came in together and were still together. And they've established all of these little things that would be cool if. And so then how are we going to figure this out? But I have to say, though, on top of everything else, this is one of those things where it comes back to some of our Star Wars conversations about we complain a lot, but then it's like the lightsaber battles were really kick-ass. The special effects and all of the stuff in space is so breathtaking. The cinematography around the spaceships, don't you think?
I do. It's very nice.
It's very enchanting.
The sound effects, too. I want to play something okay. for you real quick, if you'll Please. Allow me. Before Star Trek Discovery ever came out, I bought a ringtone for my phone that is very awesome. But the only thing is, it plays way too loud.
Okay.
And everybody you looks at me strangely.
It?
Okay, here. Hold on.
Communication device enabled. Incoming transmission. Please accept or reject in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I love that.
I have another one too, but I won't play it this mm-hmm. episode. It's on iTunes.
That's awesome. I love that.
For everyone who wants it. But doesn't it sound like the Discovery?
It does.
Like the sound effects
in
Discovery?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, that's very, anyway, very cool.
I just had to play that for you.
So anyway, from what we were talking about, just about the little gimmicky things and hoping that they go somewhere with it.
I overall enjoyed the episode. It was interesting to see Amanda in the episode.
I like that actress.
Amanda, and I liked, again, her relationship with mm-hmm. Michael, wanting to nurture that humanity in her, trying to balance it with what she's learning about being a Vulcan, even though she's not a Vulcan, and how she fought mm-hmm. for Michael after Sarek comes back from the powers that be, who decided she wasn't going to be, he could only submit one of his two
charges,
children into the expeditionary mm-hmm. corps. So he chose Spock, I guess, because he thought that Spock had the better chance being half Vulcan. That also explains his disappointment in Spock, you know, that we see in TOS and in TNG. He sacrificed Michael's desire to be mm-hmm. a part of that for Spock, and then Spock gives it up altogether. But as we're learning about Sarek, he is not a very good communicator as an ambassador. He might be great, but he sucks when it comes to talking with his family members. Let this be a lesson to you people. Always communicate.
That's funny and true. But that's his character, though. And that's, you know, the Sarek character has to be one of the hardest. I do like the idea of seeing someone that we are familiar with. And I really like the actor who was cast and everything. But there's a slippery slope with those characters because so many things have been established about who that character is and what they've done that's harder, I think, to say, okay, well, he's going to be a certain way. Or the things that he does, they have to be a little more careful how they do that. You're right. It does kind of shed a little more light on the situation with Spock. I agree with that. And that makes sense. But, they still have to be sort of careful because they're shoehorning in. And Spock is such a, I don't mind having a little more dimension to Spock, but he's so beloved by us that anything you're putting in there that would make you question, Spock or his motives or the type of person that we think that he is, I'm just more skeptical about that because I don't want them purposely painting Spock as some sort of horrible child who threw things back in Sarek's face.
I don't think that's what they're doing. I really think that Spock didn't know the mm-hmm. situation, and really he was just, doing what he wanted to do.
I had this weird thought, though, because was it you that mentioned about who was it that mentioned about Worf being raised by humans?
I did,
I was thinking about that episode of TNG where the little boy's parents die, and he starts acting like Data and imprints on Data. And it kind of started me, it made me think about that, that like maybe the trauma of her parents' death pushed her in this situation where being more and more Vulcan and more logical was a way to not deal with the trauma of her parents' death.
That's a really good point. So she willingly suppresses emotion to avoid dealing with the loss of her parents.
And so this might also be kind of an overarch, because while I was talking about it a few minutes ago, I kind of got this like light bulb moment about her and Lorca having this situation where both of them have been traumatized, right? And a good way to deal with it and a bad way to deal with it, maybe both are good and bad, because obviously Lorca's been traumatized. And what happens after trauma? What do you do? Like, how does it affect you? This whole series just might be a like an exploration of trauma. That. So you have the guy who was imprisoned and assaulted. You have, you know, someone who's lost her parents as a young child and then was raised in a completely different society. And then you have a man whose complete livelihood, you know, the idea of sacrificing his crew so that they wouldn't be tortured. That, how could you ever recover from that? I don't know. Maybe it's an exploration of trauma recovery. Supplanting your DNA.
Even Saru, he's not, well, he did suffer trauma. He was prey and he was saved by Starfleet officers. So he's obviously chosen a path based on that, because he was impressed by their empathy for him. And he's simultaneously repulsed by the aggressiveness.
And you just reminded me that my thought process with the whole, all of the gimmicks really was going back to Saru, and I apologize for not going back to that, but that this idea of a prey species being on a starship is kind of an interesting gimmick, but I'm still not sure what it is they're going to do with him, because I feel like
it's growing beyond what you are. That perhaps is what we are both discussing right now, is the ability for people to grow beyond what life deals them.
Right. Interesting. And it really actually continues on to Tilly being accidentally paired with someone, you know, for her being, you know, a little socially awkward and just at the beginning of her career and all of that stuff, and being paired with someone who's basically a hardened criminal in a way, you know, not a criminal, but, you know, obviously she has her own set of things that have held her back.
And she's decided to think of Michael as a mentor. She introduced
I adore her, that.
Michael
I
as
adore
a mentor.
That, because I think that's a cute way for the writers to kind of be like, yeah, we know what we're doing. I thought it was cute because she just came out and said
I like that. I guess, you know, we saw an example of cadets being on, you know, serving on a ship in a combat situation in DS9. But how often do we see cadets on starships, period? Unless it's kind of like, you know, as part of their curriculum, you
like
know,
an internship.
To serve on a vessel for a short period of time. Like an internship.
Well, the other
That's
thing is, too,
for.
Is that you get the impression that Discovery, before the war started, Discovery was specifically a science vessel. And so she might have been assigned there. And then when war broke out, it was like, every man for himself, wherever you are, that's where you are. And so then now she just kind of has to make the best of what's going on around her. You know, I mean, she's a scientist and she's just trying to figure things out. But whatever the writers are doing with her, I'm on board so far.
Me she's too. Very, I like her.
It's a very charming character. And it's, I think, welcome in this atmosphere of darkness. You kind of need her, I think.
Yes, she is a little bubbly. She's a little bit of us.
Yeah.
I know quite a few people who are like her, who are, I guess, considered a little bit nerdy or geeky.
Maybe.
She's there for us, so we can feel like we're a part of it. Well, just like Wesley was aboard the Enterprise, so that we would feel like we were a part
of that
crew.
You always have kind of a younger character to represent. And on a warship, you can't have a child. So a cadet is a very good way to do that. And also an unconventional cadet. She's not someone we've seen before. Usually you have her personality in the adorable slave girl. You don't usually have that personality in a main character. It's usually somebody who just comes in for one show, you know?
She's very normal looking. She has acne, you know? She's a little overweight. And for what we're used to of characters on Star Trek... In the Star Trek universe, she would probably be considered that. but she's normal. I just like her being a part of the crew. But what do you think about the promotion that Michael was given at the end of the episode? You know, the thing that more than anything that kind of creeped me out was how he kind of maybe manipulated her in that, because she said what an honor it was to be serving under a captain like him. That was right after he pretty much sent his girlfriend, the admiral, off to her very probable death, because I don't think they're going to rescue two Starfleet high-ranking officers in this series.
Yeah.
I just don't know if that's going
to
happen.
I think
not.
We just have to see. Yeah. There's something that I want to say, but it references something in one of our comments. So can we listen to the comments?
Yeah,
because I've been holding
my
tongue on something I wanted to talk about.
Okay, so do we want to play?
Yes.
Is it the audio comment from Helga? Okay, let's play Helga from Germany. She sent us a very awesome audio comment, so let's play that now.
Cut. Printing out emails. Here come the emails being printed out. And...
Printing out emails. Here come the emails being printed out.
I've been a huge fan of Star Trek for about 20 years now, and I was so excited to see a new show. But after the first two episodes, I was quite conflicted. I live in Germany, where it's aired on Netflix, and the first two episodes were available together. And after them, I listened to your podcast and just wanted to shout same after everything Angela said. I hated how it ended. And when I thought about it, there were so many little details that didn't really make sense. So if you're covering the third episode, it was such an improvement. They didn't have someone literally spell out everything. Hated that in the first ones. I liked how the Discovery felt more like TOS. I liked Tilly a lot and how she was excited yet anxious about having Michael as a roommate. Michael felt more like the character she was supposed to be, Vulcanish but human. And I loved Georgiou, but I felt like they should have skipped the first two episodes and maybe done them as flashbacks throughout the series. So flashbacks encompassing all the 7 years on the Shenzhou. I felt like this would have made more sense. So I'm still looking forward. I'm so excited. Still gonna read everything probably I find on the show, listen to all the podcasts. Yeah, also looking forward to what you're thinking about the next episodes. Have a nice day.
Thank you so
much. Thank you, Helga. Thank you for that. We love audio comments. She probably recorded that on her phone, and you can too. Just email it to girlygeeks@gmail.com. So what did you want to say in response?
In my mind, what she suggested is like a Darth Jar Jar level version of something that would make this better. Have you ever heard? You've heard Darth Jar Jar.
Yes,
you know how
I have.
Darth Jar Jar
Darth
Binks is actually my favorite one. You know how that kind of like makes the movies better somehow if you think that he's a Sith? I mean, it's not true, but it makes it better somehow. Her suggestion that they should have started the series at episode 3 and told the first two episodes in flashback is freaking genius. I would have loved that. When I rewatch the series, I'm going to probably do that. I'm going to treat it like a prequel. I'm just not going to watch that part. I love the idea of her of hitting a point of attack of the series where you just have this girl. It kind of like Harry Potter, where it's like the boy who lived. You don't know anything. You don't know why. You don't know what the story is. It's just, oh, this kid, he's just been living at the bottom of the stairs. So here's this mysterious, you know, it's almost like I would have liked two episodes of The Discovery and then Burnham joining the third episode, you know, so we knew more backstory about everybody else and not her, instead of the other way around. Wouldn't that have been awesome? And I have to give her credit for that. That is an amazing thought.
Should we give her Gamma Quadrant golf clap? Let's do that.
That's
a good thing, Helga.
It's an
excellent Gamma Quadrant
golf clap. And yeah, that blows my mind how much better I would like this. I think that would be awesome. And sorry. That was very exciting.
That's okay. We had a comment from Katie. Thank you so much for sending us some feedback. I don't think she intended it to be read at first. And when I asked if I could read it, she amended it and sent it back longer. I hope it's okay with you, but I'm going to read your first email because she added some more stuff about The Expanse, which is her favorite sci-fi show right now. And she's saying that Discovery is no Expanse, her favorite currently screening sci-fi, but I'm liking it so far. I have come across a lot of negative responses online, so it's nice to listen to you guys discuss what you found positive and negative about it. I'm appreciating the cinematic approach. You can really see those dollars on screen. It feels somewhere between the movies, visually striking and action-heavy, but not so much meat. And what I've seen of TOS and TNG so far, more lore and thought? I can't find the right word. For context, other than the recent films, I'm only now watching TNG and saw TOS as a child, so I'm not someone who is overly familiar with Star Trek and have no particular attachment to the franchise, so I'm certainly viewing it from a different place to fans like you and your podcast guests. Perhaps this is how people who didn't grow up with Star Wars feel when seeing The Force Awakens.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
Yeah. She kind of gives us some background on The Expanse, but neither of us are.
I saw some cool
stuff
about The Expanse when I was at CES a couple years ago when they first put it out, and it has a VR experience. They used like the trailer to create a VR experience, and it was very cool, and it looks like a very cool concept. I just started watching Dark Matter, which I know isn't. It's in that similar genre on sci-fi. It's so good, and it only had 3 seasons, and now it's gone. So I understand the feeling of, but The Expanse has not been canceled yet, so that's awesome. It has been on my list of things to do.
Thank you for sending that in. We're going to give you a Gamma Quadrant golf clap, too. Thank you very much. If you would like to send us email, you certainly can. You can send it to girlygeeks@gmail.com, girlygeeks@gmail.com, or you can record a voicemail message on your smartphone and email it to that address, or you can call our voicemail line at 432-363-4742.
Did you have another one?
I think that was it. If I forgot you, I am very sorry. I've been trying to label and keep track of them. And I know in the past people have sent comments too, but they are lost in the ether now. Thank you to you people. We did answer each one of you. I know that. Mm-hmm. We always do that. We never ignore emails. We love them. But once again, we're going to Austin Comic Con in November. If you are in the area or would like to fly into Texas,
and you can talk to us in person about all of these things,
we will have a booth there again this year, and you can consider it your home base. Come hang out with us there if you want.
We need
a lot of people.
We need more plush seating in our area.
We do. We do. Yeah, it's always fun, and I think we've mentioned once before, and we probably will in every episode up until Austin Comic Con, but Felicia Day will be there, Jason Momoa, who else? Big names.
Why? Oh, Nichelle Nichols.
Brain fart. Michelle Nichols. Why do I always keep calling her? I haven't seen her yet, so I don't expect
her. Cast members from Firefly. I think the Doctor and Kaylee, I think, is coming back, and also Summer. So,
I want to go see a panel with them. I'll try to record it. We are definitely going to be reporting on the con from the con. We'll probably do some Facebook Live videos. So, join our Facebook page in our group so that you can watch those. And we're going to the Texas Renaissance Festival, which we will talk about more in our next episode. But it's the biggest in the country, right?
And it's always growing. And it did very well because remember that area of Texas got hit by a lot of rain.
Yep,
it's north of Houston, and it did very well. And they're also doing a lot of, if you're in Texas and you've never been to Renaissance Festival and you're curious, they're also doing a lot of fundraising at the site this year for Harvey and that kind of thing. So if you have a philanthropic bent as well, if you go down to Renaissance Festival, you can check out some of the stuff they're doing for the victims of Harvey. So that's very cool. I just found that out yesterday. I know that sounded like a PSA. I didn't mean it to sound that way. But I just think that's very cool. And of course, Texas is close to both of our hearts because we love Texas so much. So it's a great place to, if you want to do some giving in that area, it's a great place to go and do that. And also dress up and have a turkey leg.
Well, I think our miniskirt cast is a little longer than...
I know, right?
But that's okay. It's okay. I think it's awesome. And I would like to do more of this kind of thing. And I think that's our plan. Yay. Like we said, we're going to try to do this every Monday. And when Stranger Things comes out, we will do maybe the first episode, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, we'll see what we want to do. And then also I'm going to try to force Jen to watch The Orville, because when I couldn't get Star Trek to work last night, we just watched another episode of The Orville, and it's good. It's so good. Sorry.
I've heard a lot about it. I know a lot of people like it.
Jim, my husband, is not a fan of Seth MacFarlane, really, and he really likes the show. I don't know if that says anything, but
that's amazing that he doesn't like Seth MacFarlane. I would have thought that he did. That's crazy.
He does and doesn't. Like, we were fans of early Family Guy, but then it sort of went really off the rails. And then also both of us kind of have this line of comedy that we don't cross. It's just, you know, when you get too gross out,
yes,
or too over sexual, I have a line, and so does, and my husband, and my line is pretty close. And Seth MacFarlane doesn't even just inch over the line. He sometimes leaps over it like a ballerina. So I sometimes, and there's episodes of South Park too, where I just have to be like, nope.
It must be really bad, because I know that you're more open to
I am.
Things than I am. So
I am very much. And it's funny, because our group of friends, I am the only one, because Stephanie and Jen and you, none of you guys like Futurama or any of that stuff.
Well, I enjoy it. I just don't watch it all the time. But
yeah, I pretty much watch Futurama constantly. So we can quote it. Anyway, I mean, it's just a matter of what you like. It's okay.
Next week, we have a kind of a catch-all episode. We'll talk about the new Star Trek. Or the Star Trek Discovery, the episodes after the first two episodes, in between this one and the other two. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about the Star Wars trailer that we saw, the newest one for The Last Jedi. And we discussed, what else? Orville, Comic-Con, RenFest.
Yep.
Just like a catch-all episode. We were just relaxed and talking about whatever came to mind. So be sure to watch or listen to that one. And then I'm not sure quite when we'll put it out, maybe in another 2 or 3 weeks, will be an episode on the BSG miniseries. Back when Angela and I first started this podcast, we used to do what we're doing now.
Yes.
Only we would do it in large chunks. One episode would cover like 2 or 3 episodes of BSG, Battlestar Galactica. And so all of that is in our archive on our website at anomalypodcast.com if you want to check it out. I think that's it. If you like this show, be sure to subscribe. We are everywhere. Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. We're on iHeartRadio and YouTube and everywhere. So do subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you can donate, that would be nice, because we need help making payments for hosting and things like that so that we can keep producing this show. So if you appreciate what we're doing and you want to encourage us to keep making more, consider sending a few bucks our way. And you can do that at our website at anomalypodcast.com. There's a very clear button right below the slider on the homepage. And again, you can contact us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. You can call our voicemail line at 432-363-4742 or record an audio comment on your smartphone and just email it to us. You can also contact us on our website and find us on Facebook, Pinterest, and Twitter.
Phew.
Whew, gosh, that's a lot of stuff. I don't know how to make it shorter.
I don't know.
So
that's okay.
Anyway, this was fun.
Yeah. I like talking about stuff right after.
Me too. So thank you so much for listening. I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela. And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
Talk to you next time.
Bye.
We like stars. All the stars in the sky. Especially the stars you give us on iTunes. To us, you are the biggest star in the cosmos. Go to iTunes and give us a rating. Thanks.
It's been a long road
getting from there to here.
It's been a long time,
but my time is finally here. And I will see my dreams come alive at last.
I will touch the sky. Hold me down, no. No, they're not gonna change.
Okay. Oh man, the best part was coming up.
Cause I've got faith of the heart. No, take me. Okay.
I can do anything.
I've got
strength.
Oh, strength.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.